John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now, number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Normally joined by Jared Stillman every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Joe Rex Road, I have news to report. We've been ghosted. No, Jared.
Really? Second week in a row, he's ghosting us. He can't handle the smoke anymore?
I guess not.
Wow, very disappointing. You know, very unprofessional.
Big Louisville win last night. You know, they beat Virginia 31-24, gave up 21 unanswered to Virginia in the third quarter. So holding on for victory against the mighty Cavaliers last night, probably some celebration involved from our good friend Jared Stillman.
He's kind of ugly, though.
What a ripping win for the Cards. Real convincing. That's very disappointing. I wanted to hear from Jared. I had a great contrast from Jared this week, which was, I didn't hear this, but Gentry told me about this. You know how Jared likes to do this. He's talking about, no one in this town asks tough questions except me, right? Yeah. Whatever, that garbage. And then the next day he's got Barry Trotz on and he's like, Barry, how you doing? Barry Trotz, and Barry's like, good, how are you doing, Jared? Jared's like, I'm doing great after that big win, Barry. And I'm like, so you're pretending to be Mr. Tough Guy, but you're actually fanboy. Okay. Good to know.
Good to know.
I think we should just spend this thing but ripping Jared if he's not going to come on with us.
Maybe that's what we'll do.
I got more if you want more.
I'm sure you do. Take your thoughts on the Titans and the Bucks. 615-737-1025. The injury report for the Titans. No Brunskill the last 2 days. Obviously no Burks. And Sean Murphy Bunting yet to practice so far this week, in addition to Nicholas Petitfrere, which we already kind of knew that was the case. So Brunskill hasn't practiced yet with the ankle injury, and Sean Murphy Bunting with the thumb injury has not been out on the practice field yet. Obviously two guys that they could really use on Sunday, Joe, with an offensive line that's already limited anyway and a secondary that has been exposed the last couple of weeks. Now, it does look like Roger McCreary is going to be good to go. He's been a full participant each of the last 2 days with a hamstring injury, so very good news there on that front. He's been, to me, their best player in the secondary so far this year, and they've missed, having him out there. So good to see McCreary back on the practice field this week, but not having Sean Murphy Bunting could be a big loss because you're putting Trey Avery back out there at that point. Like, what's the secondary going to look like if he can't go?
Yeah, I would anticipate McCreary back, SMB not, and yeah, I think that's probably the move. You can do McCreary on the outside and Molden at slot, and if you feel, this injury report is someone was asked about injuries this week. We're like, well, it's been about the same. They haven't been extraordinary, but this particular report is extraordinary. Although also a bunch of the guys on the report, Autry, Henry, Hopkins are just rest. So some of it makes it longer, but Mike Brown is on the report with an ankle. Yep. He's also been a full participant. Do you feel good about Mike Brown back there with Hooker? And then you want to do Molden in the slot. I mean, Molden is, Molden's good in the slot. Molden is certainly an asset as a run stopper in the slot. And then you can put McCreary on the outside. Yeah. My guess is we'll probably see both of those things at different times and maybe end up, they'll just kind of go with what looks better. But there are a lot of people banged up for sure. It looks like, Hubbard being a full participant yesterday bodes well for him. Chris Hubbard at right tackle, which would then only leave the Titans with the question of left tackle, which is kind of a big one.
Yeah, a little bit of a big deal there. I mean, I would assume going to be Radins, and Radins has talked about this week, his comfortability playing both sides and how Obviously, he played the left side in college and is comfortable doing that. So we'll see what that looks like for the Titans this week. But, you know, the left side of this thing, whether it's Dillard again, whether it's Dylan Raidens, if you're Will Levis, I mean, you just got to know. And it's never going to come out and say this, but you just got to know that ball's probably going to have to come out pretty quickly on Sunday, regardless of who's playing left tackle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the clock's got to be fast, and you know, there were. I mean, you need to stand in at times, and I thought, you know, I thought he stood in. I think standing in makes a big difference in a positive way. Usually, there were a couple times against Pittsburgh that it probably should have gotten out earlier, and you know, the courage cost him a sack. But I mean, you'd still rather have that than someone with happy feet who is just flinging it out of there because they sense the rush even before the rush arrives. So I mean, this season is going to be it's his development, and it's a week to week thing, and how defenses adjust to him, and as they gain information on him, what they do, all that stuff. And it's also, he's going to take some hits, and can he, you know, get through that and you know, not let it affect him in a negative way.
Joe, we have breaking news. Let's welcome our friend Jared Stillman to the program, who's been kind enough to join us. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I'm good, fellas.
That's
how are you?
Nice.
Doing really well. Big win for the Cards last night against Virginia. Did you stay up partying?
Boy, I will tell you that there is no feeling like being number 11 in the country in college football, actually being good at something, because we've been terrible at both football and basketball for like the last 5 years. Feeling good about your team, going up early on Virginia, thinking you're going to rout them, and then with 3 minutes left or 6 minutes left or whatever it is in the fourth quarter, holding your tush, thinking that you may lose that game and embarrass yourself once again. But no, it was a good victory. And I'm thankful to the NFL for putting on the worst Thursday night football game of the year so that I didn't have to worry about, oh, I'm missing the Thursday night football game in order to watch the college game last night.
Correct. So, Jared, what is the next step that Will Levis and this Titans offense needs to take in your mind now that we know it's going to be Will Levis' show from here on out?
I mean, I would say, like, maybe learn to block would probably be the first thing.
Well, that
would
be nice.
But I guess, like, with Levis, I just want to see him get rid of the ball faster. I talked to a former general manager, and I asked him, I said, you know, what do you think of Levis so far? And he said that the Titan coaches clearly trust him and that he's doing a decent job going through his progressions, but that the ball's got to come out faster on some of those shorter routes. And I think back to, like, the screen pass to Derrick Henry where Levis got absolutely clobbered. Now, it ended up being a great screen pass, but I think it may be, you know, plays like that where, you know, the ball's got to come out just a tad quicker. He took the sack and the two-minute drill, can't have that. But I do think that, you know, maybe that's like the next step for Levis is just getting the ball out quicker and maybe just a little bit more fluid when it's not just chucking the ball down the field.
So you're not worried still that they're going to ruin him?
I'm so worried. Oh, are you serious? Okay. Have you seen the offensive line? Robbie just said, what's the first step? Like, block. Because
I understand, but you've been blaring like, oh, do the right thing, Mike, and go with Levis. And I'm like, well, that doesn't track with your worry that they're going to ruin him.
Now, so what happens in the NFL is if the young guy proves he can play, then the young guy has to play. Like, that's just how it is. And so once he put him out there against the Falcons, and we learned that he could play, then at that point there is no choice. Well, there's no choice at that point. You can't. What are you going to do?
There's no choice.
Once the young guy has proven to the entire team and the fan base that he can play and himself, the young guy has to play. That's how the NFL works. The only way that you can't do that is if you've got an Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's the only way you can't do that. And Tannehill on an expiring contract at 2-4 at 35 years old is not Aaron Rodgers. So at that point, like, that's just how the league works. Like, I don't think Vrabel wants to go to Levis, but that's how the league works. And so I don't think he had a choice. And I think Mike Lombardi said the same thing the other day when he was asked about Vrabel making the choice to go to Levis, and he's like, he didn't have a choice.
So you think that Vrabel is doing this against his own will?
I think Vrabel is incredibly conflicted about this decision. I mean, I think he's incredibly conflicted. I mean, he even got kind of snippy with Mike Keith on his coach's show about the decision to make the change and why he made the decision when he made the decision. And, you know, Mike Keith is, you know, he's part of the team. You know, it's not like me or you or Paul or, you know, it's Mike Keith. And he even got a little snippy with him. So
Mike Keith, what are you doing with your hands?
Yeah. I mean, I think that and it's on the coach's show. You know, like this is where it's like we talk about like the talking to the media, talking to the fans kind of thing. Like the coach's show, the only people who watch the coach's show are like the diehard fans. And so, like, you know, even for him to get a little snippy there is like, wow, you know, this is I think Vrabel's conflicted by this to a certain extent. I understand why. But again, this is reality of the NFL. What I find to be fascinating is the comment Tannehill made about how when he got hurt, he didn't think he was going to lose his job. And it just makes me think between that and Vrabel going up there and saying like, hey, when Ryan's healthy, Ryan's the quarterback. And then Vrabel wanting to play both quarterbacks in the Falcons game. I mean, do they not like practice hard at all? Do they not pay attention to what goes on in practice? Do they not? I'm trying to figure out, like, was Levis just awful in practice and then all of a sudden goes out there in the Falcons game and is just dropping 50-yard bombs constantly? Like, what happened?
It is interesting. There's no question about that. On the pursuit of Mike Vrabel front, we've talked a lot about that this week. Obviously, you have as well. I have no doubt at this point that if the Patriots fire Bill Belichick, that there will be heavy interest in Vrabel from their vantage point. What is the chance that you think Amy Adams Strunk legitimately considers doing this if approached by Robert Kraft and the Patriots with an offer?
So I thought Charles said it best yesterday, which is, you know, isn't this kind of about like how Mike feels? Like if Mike goes to her, and we know that the way it works in the NFL.
I said that before Charles did, but yes, you're right. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. So, okay. I mean, you know, if you're Amy and we know how it, like, technically works in the league, right? The Patriots call the Titans and ask for permission to interview Vrabel and then all of that. But we know that even though the Titans could charge the Patriots with tampering, if Vrabel were to go to Amy and say, hey, the Patriots want to hire me, I mean, there is a certain level of, like, these things get worked out before they get worked out. And I do think that if Vrabel wants to take that Patriots job, then you have the discussion about, like, okay, we'll discuss this with them, but, I mean, it's going to be expensive for them, and that would ultimately mean for you. If Vrabel wants to do it, I'd consider it given the draft capital. If not, then I'd make Vrabel, you know, I'd make Vrabel stay where he is. And I think it's a great situation for the Titans, right? Like, if you put it down, Charles said we're starting at 2 first-round picks. If you say 2 first-round picks, and New England's like, oh, no, that's too rich for my blood. Okay, well, then I get to keep my coach. And if you really, really, really want him, and I don't think it's as simple as, you know, they're going to give you the 5th overall pick. Like, I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated than that. But if it's something that is equivalent to 2 first-round picks, like I've suggested, you know, a pick swap in the 1st round and then their 2nd rounder this year and a 1st rounder next year, like, I think that that value is more important than Vrabel's ability as a coach. So I am for it. But, again, you're asking would Amy consider it. I have no idea. But I do think that if the Patriots were to really want to do this, which I think they do, if they're willing to pay, then I think that that raises a whole different scenario for Amy. And if Mike were want to do it, then I think that raises a whole other scenario for Amy.
So, who's your Vrabel replacement? I know you've got a list, right? You're all giddy putting together your list of OCs who will be better head coaches than him?
Well, I mean, for me, the guy that I'm circling right now is Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator of the Texans, and there's two reasons for this. I think the first reason is I think Bobby Slowick is the next Shanahan guy. And so, you know, he is the skinny guy with the tight pants that walks around on the sidelines that, you know, just puts that giant laminated play sheet over his mouth every time he calls a play. And he is, I mean, what he is doing with C.J. Stroud, and I know, look, Stroud's good, But I give Stroud 33% of the credit for the performance he had on Sunday. I give Slowick 33%. And then that Tampa defense was so bad on Sunday that they get 33% of the credit, too. Now, they'll probably go out and shut out Will Levis after what happened last Sunday. But, like, Slowick is a big part of this. I mean, there are dudes that are open, and they move him around, and they do all kinds of different things. And so I think he's the next Shanahan guy. And the great part about this, while I'm not the biggest Rand Carthon fan in the world, is that I would hope Rand's experience in San Francisco, where Bobby Slowick was basically the offensive coordinator with Shanahan last year, would be to know, could this guy be the head coach of the Titans? Because he would know better than we would. And so if Rand thinks, oh, yeah, this guy's, you know, he's the next Shanahan guy and he can do it, then that's great. Because then I do feel like I'm upgrading for my young quarterback at the coaching position, and I'm getting two first-round picks or their equivalent out of it. So I think that'd be great. I mean, I think there are other OC candidates that are would be, you know, worth interviewing. I'm trying to figure out why Arthur is acting like such a buffoon in Atlanta, because I expected so much better out of Arthur. Not just the results, but, like, you know, the little pick and fights with the media and the bad quarterback. And, like, I just expected so much better out of Arthur, but I still have a lot of respect for Arthur, so he'd be somewhere on the list. I mean, there's a reason that they interview people, but I do think that if Vrabel were to be traded to the Patriots, I would transition to an offensive coach that probably runs the Shanahan-McVay system, because that's what Levis ran in college. And quite frankly, I think Levis would be a really good quarterback for that.
Jared, thank you for being with us. We enjoy it every Friday morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, next time, send your tweet out in the morning, or in the night before, Robbie.
I mean, we only do it every Friday morning at 7 o'clock.
I know, but I got too much things to worry about. I'm okay. Sitting here listening to Tim Kelly's press conference, and Nick texts me, and I'm like, I forgot Robbie didn't send out that tweet last night.
I'll send it out. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know what? Don't be mad at me because we do it every Friday. You send it out every Thursday.
Well, at some point, I figured you'd probably get used to it on your schedule, right?
No. I get used to getting the tweet on Thursday night to remind me.
Okay. All right. I'll see you guys.
It's always somebody else's fault.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Buccaneers coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make your silly underdog picks today for the chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week 11 of college football, week 10 of the NFL. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I think I just got shamed for Stillman being late. That's how that went down, Rex Road. It's my fault. Stillman didn't join the show on time. Gotta love it.
Wait. Yeah, he tried to pawn that off on you. Interesting, but at least he explained to us how the NFL works. I always appreciate when he does that.
He did. It's good stuff. Titans and Buccaneers coming up on Sunday on the road. Titans at 3-5. Big opportunity to try and get a win on the road. The Bucs are a 1.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook on this one. Baker Mayfield, it's been interesting, Joe, watching him play. I think he's thrown 12 touchdowns, 4 picks. So he's done a pretty good job of taking care of the football so far this year. We know what Mike Evans can do. This is, you know, there's going to be so much attention on Levis, obviously, now that he's the guy, and he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans. Titans defense, though, like at some point, need to have a consistent response. They look good for the most part against Atlanta, and then they get shredded on the ground again against Pittsburgh on Thursday Night Football. This is a defense that still on paper has some talent to be a very good defense. We just haven't seen it much so far this year. I will say, you know, Mike Evans threw 8 games, 37 catches, 594 yards, 5 touchdowns. I do kind of shake in my boots thinking about what he might do to this Titans defense on Sunday, given just how inconsistent they've been in their secondary and against the run. It's just been a mess for the Titans defensively.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup, for sure. And look, you know, Baker actually was quite good last week. I don't know how good the Texans are defensively. You know, they got a good, I think, I like, you know, they got some young talent on that side of the ball, but they're not great defensively. But, you know, he's been good for a lot of the year, to the point that even like before Deshaun Watson had his one breakout game at the expense of the Titans, it was, you know, starting to be panic in Cleveland over, you know, oh, we should have just kept Baker. And frankly, right now, I'm still not sure who I'd rather have. I guess Deshaun Watson, but that's something to keep an eye on. But Baker's capable. Mike Evans is a real problem. And, you know, they don't have a great run game, but the Titans' rush defense has been so bad that I don't know what to expect there. I mean, the Steelers' rush defense is atrocious, or a rush offense is atrocious, even though they have a couple talented backs. It did whatever the heck it wanted to do against the Titans. So, been a lot of talk since that game. Vrabel, Shane Bowen yesterday about, you know, what exactly is wrong. And, you know, again, usually the answer is it's a combination of things, you know. But to me, it's like, it comes back to, and this is defending the pass and the run. It comes back to, are your guys up front, where a lot of your money is concentrated, are they going to live up to those contracts on a weekly basis? Are they going to get after the quarterback and stop the run? You know, they have at times at home this year, but not nearly enough.
Are you concerned with the way that, like, you know, Vrabel got up there the other day and talked about how it's not one thing in the run. It's, you know, you ask him about a specific play and it's either somebody not filling the right gap or somebody losing one-on-one up front. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into it. And I look at who's up front for them and I'm like, them losing up front as often as they do in the running game is not a good sign to me. I mean, you've got Jeff Simmons and Danico Autry and Tyre Tarte and Harold Landry and all these guys you're spending all this money on. And if you're getting beat like that consistently up front, that's really concerning to me about what that's going to mean for the rest of this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's the biggest disappointment of everything that's gone on. We thought the offensive line might be a problem. It is.
Yep.
So this team is a combination of the things that you were worried about have proved to be worrisome, but also the things that you're optimistic about have been disappointing. That's why they're 3-5 and trying to, you know, have a quarterback change, and they're trying to, you know, have a, and I know the quarterback change it starts with an injury, but, you know, it's massively disappointing. And also, I mean, with a lot of things with this team right now, it's hard not to kind of peer forward a little bit and wonder, okay, so, like, what's the core group? You know, because Danico Autry, I think we knew, was kind of like, does he have one more great year?
Right.
And I don't think he's been bad. I think he's been violent and impactful at times. I just don't think quite as often, right? I mean, yeah. this we know this is going to be, you know, it's the last year of his deal. I mean, that makes sense. But, like, who else is helping Jeffrey Simmons? And how well is Jeffrey Simmons on his own playing? Sometimes that's hard to decipher because he gets so much of the attention. I mean, it's not unlike Derrick Henry, who will have a 48-yard day, but you watched him play and you're like, yeah, but it wasn't his fault, right?
Right.
I mean, I think there's some of that is true with Jeffrey Simmons, too. Some people want to knock him, but the guy is doubled constantly. And, like, that's got to open it up for somebody else. But I'll say, Robbie, that one thing that, especially from Bowen yesterday, you know, the D-line is the focus in terms of it. They're not winning enough, and I think that's absolutely true. But I think that there's definitely some linebacker play that has been a part of this, like some linebacker misplays,
yep,
misreads. They always talk about, like, especially when you're going against a zone scheme, you know, you can't peek your head in. I mean, everybody's got to kind of, like, maintain their lane and stuff like that. And I think there's been a little bit of maybe guys getting outside of themselves, and then you create a seam for someone to pop a run. So I think linebacker play is definitely part of this. And at times I think Azeez Al-Shaair has been pretty good, at times very good, but you know, in the last game, I don't think he or Gibbons looked good.
How concerned are you about the Titans' defense in this matchup against Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 745. Teron Davenport will join us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders kick off at 2:30 at home against FIU. Pre-game beginning at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores will be at home and will face Fairfield. Tip-off is at 1 o'clock. Pre-game begins at 12:30. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bucks. People very upset with Jared not calling in on time to our radio program. Megan on the text line says, congrats, Robbie. I knew you recently had a baby girl, but I didn't realize you're also the father to a 30-something-year-old Jared. Make sure you text him later so he remembers to go on at 2 o'clock. That's from Megan on the text line. I'll do it.
Right. Ooh, burn. Dave says, does Chase text Jared? Well, he says Jarrett. Does Chase text Jarrett every night to remind him he's on the air the next day? I don't know. Maybe he does. We should ask Chase.
We'll ask Chase.
Why don't we get that? I don't get that. Do you get that?
I feel like we need it more than everybody else. We go early.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And as Megan said, you have a baby.
There is that.
I have teenagers. We all have excuses.
I have
Jared
nothing.
Jared has none. Jared has no excuses. Yeah, but you show up to work.
You do.
You fulfill your obligations at Cromwell Media, unlike some.
Joe is my new supervisor.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's Connor. Connor S. He's actually, we're putting him in charge of you.
Yes. Ben on the text line says, it kind of seems like a little over half our 22 starters need to be upgraded, and that will help the rest of the starters get more production and efficiency. But furthermore, half the starters that are worth keeping might not be on the roster next year. That's from Ben on the text line. I mean, there is a lot of contractual freedom coming up for the Titans after this season with some of their veteran players.
I'm trying to think of who would be of high interest to keep that the Titans, you know, might not be able to. I mean, obviously you could try to offer an extension to anybody if you wanted to. I mean, Christian Fulton, that ship I think has sailed.
I agree.
And it doesn't, I mean, that's not necessarily good because that means you have to go get another good corner, but I think that's on both sides of that equation. I think that's how it's going to be. Derrick Henry, but who else would we be talking about
on
that front?
I mean, you could throw Autry in there. Like, would you want to bring Autry back? But I mean, at his age, that may not be something you want to do.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think this is about the right length of contract. It's been a fantastic. I mean, that's one of the best things John Robinson did in his latter years as GM. The Autry signing was tremendous, tremendous value.
How many years Nick Folk got on his deal?
But I think that's about it. You know, when you, now that you mention, I don't remember. Did they just sign him to 1 year?
I don't know. I need to look.
They should lock him up. Guy's for five been automatic more right now. Yeah, lock him up. 5 years. I mean, seriously, that guy. Yeah, that's a good point. But there aren't, you know, I mean, in most cases, I think it's just like, you know, you have to upgrade, or you hope there's improvement. Like, you hope there's improvement at offensive line. I mean, you can't address the whole thing.
Yeah.
So where, like, do you feel okay? I mean, certainly Skoronski, but do you feel okay with the trio inside, or do you feel like that has to be addressed too? I know some people would scream, no, you got to deal with that. It's not like I think you can get better at center. I think you can get better at right guard, but to me, you have to deal with tackle. So how much addressing can you do in one off season?
Well, by the way, Nick Folk is a free agent next year, so going to have to deal with that, I guess. But the cornerback position is really interesting to me. We went through some of the needs yesterday, right? So you need, obviously, a left tackle at least. You might need a left tackle and a right tackle. You need more help at wide receiver. And if things go the way we think they're going to go with Christian Fulton, regardless of what you think of Fulton, like, it may be the right move, and I think it is the right move, for the Titans not to pay him a second contract based on the injuries and everything that we've seen from Fulton. So if he wants to go make money somewhere else, that's fine. But in doing that, you look around and you say, all right, well, who's going to be their corner? Like, you brought Murphy Bunting in this year. He's been okay. I think Roger McCreary's been good, but he's played in the slot all year. So you now have created another need for yourself at outside corner. I mean, I guess you could move McCreary back outside, move Molden inside, and go address safety and see what you want to do there. But with Farley, you know, being a non-factor and, you know, still rehabbing from the back injury, and what we've seen from him on the field at this point is not encouraging. Like, Farley is not a part of their future plans. it's just yet another draft need that you have, and you're going to have to address corner at some point, whether that's in the draft or you're going to have to go out and spend a lot of money and bring in a free agent corner that way.
Yeah, it's right. You're going to have to do one of those two. You're going to have to invest prominently either in terms of decently high pick or free agency. Because and what you hope is, to me, the hope is that Molden is the answer at safety. I mean, if Molden is the answer at safety next to Hooker, then, you know, you can still, obviously you want to try to address the depth there and get another young guy in there and things like that. But then you're okay. Then I think your McCreary should be a slot corner. That's what he should be. And you have, you know, SMB for now, but I mean, then you focus on outside corner, just like you focus on left tackle. Like those are the, you know, the key positions that you're going to really have to address. Tim asks about the chances of Henry getting the tag.
Yeah.
You're not paying Henry the average of the top three at the position anymore. You're just not.
You won't have to.
I mean, yeah, like Henry is going to, I mean, I think Henry's going to, again, go out there and look around, and it's not going to be great. But, I mean, I could be wrong. I'd love to be wrong about that. But he's not going to be making eight figures next year. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, Joe. Hey, so you guys are talking a little bit about the defense, like the defensive woes we've had. I think about Jim Schwartz being in the building. I don't want to harp on that too much, but I just want to say I don't think Bowen gets punched in the gut enough, man. I rarely hear anybody talk about him, but you have a defense that was so elite, especially like it was so porous, man. Whenever our offense was good, I think it was 2020.
Yeah.
Our offense was great. Our defense sucked, and then it flipped. Our defense was awesome. 8 sacks in one game. That's amazing. Like in a playoff game, that's amazing. And then that just goes away. And you're telling me that nobody in that building knew that dude wanted to be a defensive coordinator again? It's just another part of, like, ownership, negligence, mismanagement, whatever, dude. But, like, I just think, like, that dude was in the building, man. And I don't think Tierre Tart and Jeffrey Simmons all of a sudden suck, you know? I mean, I know our corners are bad, but I feel like Baker Mayfield.
So, Adam, you know Denico Autry, right? You know who he is.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to 2020. They were trying to get pass rush out of Jadeveon Clowney, Vic freaking Beasley, okay? They had zero pass rushers. They had nobody. They got zero pass rush. The next year, they add Autry. They also add Dupree. They also get Landry having his best season. They also have Simmons having his best. Now, you want to give you know, Jim Schwartz credit for those guys having their best season? Go right ahead. I mean, you can if you want. But this is a very simple equation of you went from zero pass rush to one of the best pass rushes in the league because of personnel. I mean, Jim Schwartz wasn't coaching players in the field. I'm sure he helped in the building. I'm sure he did. But that aspect – and I don't disagree with you on, like, you know he's good. He has a track record. Would you be interested in him being your D coordinator? I don't disagree with that. But the idea that his effect is why these things changed is just so – it's just
Well, listen to this, though, logical. Dude. Like, when you had Clowney on the field – he got no production, like zero. And I can't make you inspire Vic Beasley to play football, but you made an investment in those players that was huge, and then you turn around and you just swap the players out. But I'm not the cop out, dude. You sound like your last name is Robinson or Vrabel, whatever. That's what that sounds like. No offense. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, dude. It's like we still had good players, like supposedly good players on the field, and got zero production from them. So,
well, they're not good players. Vic Beasley was not a good player.
Players. Clowney was shut down halfway through the year and went back to Houston. I mean, good for him that he's come back to be decent now, but he was an absolute non-factor. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I'm not trying.
But you look at where he went, and that was my end point. Cleveland is amazing now, dude. They weren't amazing before. That's what I'm saying, dude. That's the cherry on top.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Well, the other part of this, like Shane Bowen, so take this to its next logical step. So say you wanted to keep, you know, Jim Schwartz as your defensive coordinator. I mean, Shane Bowen the numbers would tell you he's done a great job the last 2 years as Titans defensive coordinator. So you're like, are you firing Shane Bowen after last year? Because Shane, nobody was talking about that. No, we didn't get to the end of last season, Joe, and say, you know what they ought to do? They ought to fire Shane Bowen. It was all about Todd Downing and the offense.
Well, right. Well, but like the people, there are people who are looking at like when Shorts was here, that's when they were better. So, you know, like, I'm not arguing there's zero impact from Shorts, but that's way oversold. I mean, Clowney was bad here. Okay. He was hurt here. He was coming off a knee. Good for him that it's healed and he's decent. Vic Beasley was an atrocious signing. I sound like my last name was Robinson. Robinson signed him. Vrabel, you know, probably thought he could coach him up. I mean, those are mistakes on their part. But that's the thing. You're trying to trace this to an analyst in the building, where as opposed to looking at Landry, Autry, even Dupree in 21 when he played. That's when they were absolutely overwhelming. I mean, it's players.
By the way, Jadeveon Clowney had 2 sacks last year. He's got 3.5 so far this year.
Right. It's not like he's lighting up the world. This version of him would have helped some in 20, right?
Well, and to his credit, he did have 9 the year after he left here in Cleveland. But he's on the field for 14 games. He's healthy.
Yeah, the Shorts thing is, I almost want to change my next segment to that, but it's like we've talked about it before. I mean, he's good. He's good. But like the idea that he somehow came in here and puppet mastered everything into, and then all of a sudden he leaves and it falls apart is just, it's not following things logically.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. That is next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Paul Crew. I'm going to be your coach, your captain, your quarterback.
Hey, you haven't played in years. Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
You're right. Let's see what you got. Hit me, I'm open.
Hi, hi, hi.
That's why. Now sit down and shut up.
Who are we gonna crush?
The gods!
Who are we gonna kill?
The gods!
Who are we gonna kiss?
The gods!
Got you.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. Joseph, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Very few rants are original anymore. This is a re-rant. It'll come up again. Let me just get to the bottom line here that I just wish we could all agree on, okay? We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen with these quarterbacks. We don't know. So, like, Alan Saunders, Steelers beat writer for this is part of what triggered this, you know, and I've seen a million, not a million, but way too many to this effect, especially from people who cover this stuff who should know better. So last night, apparently watching the crappy, awful Thursday night Chicago-Carolina game, he tweets, he covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He tweets, I really have no idea how anyone ever thought Bryce Young was better than C.J. Stroud. Okay. Further triggering comes today on the text line from, I love the name though, Rain Man in Chapmansboro.
Yes.
He says, Joe, Bryce Young is terrible. Too small, weak arm, definitely not the guy. Then he's like, how do we get to a place in sports media where we're not following corporate ESPN for college QB ratings? There has to have been dozens of more talented QBs out there, Tyson Bagent being one of them. So basically, Rain Man goes off the rails completely. He doesn't. Did you not? So, okay. Side rant. You didn't watch Bryce Young play at Alabama? Like what? You didn't see him win the high? Not no Heisman? No, you didn't. No. Okay. All right. No, you're right. Tyson Bagent's better than him. All right. But apart from that, 2 weeks ago, okay. Like C.J. Stroud just had this record-setting performance. Good for him. He looks good. He looked good that day. Bryce Young looked – I mean, if you watch the game last night, it is the worst offensive skill group I've ever seen in the NFL. Like, it is up there with the Detroit Lions of the mid-'80s when they had, like, Rusty Hilger throwing to Pete Mandley, okay? Like, it is atrocious. It's Adam, an aging Adam Thielen and Jonathan Mingo, and it's so bad. So let's go back to 2 weeks ago. The Carolina Panthers and Houston Texans played in Charlotte, and it was 13-12 Houston. And Bryce Young took the Panthers, that horrific offense, 86 yards in 15 plays to set up the game-winning 23-yard field goal as time expired. He got it all the way down deep in their territory, got inside the 10, and they were able to take the clock all the way down. The perfect game-winning drive.
A 15-13 barn burner.
Yeah, 15-13 barn burner. 86 yards, 15 plays. Fourth and two, he got a 3-yard completion, Adam Thielen. That's an explosive play for that offense. But again, that was Bryce Young being clutch like we saw him in college, because that's what he is. And then on the other side, C.J. Stroud, 16 for 24, 140 yards, no touchdowns. They got 13 points. The previous two games, the Panthers' defense gave up 12 touchdowns and 84 points. So some of this is it's the NFL, and every week you don't know what the hell you're going to see. Also, D'Amico Ryans after that game, you know, people do get more film on your quarterback and they switch a game plan. So they put your quarterback in difficult spots. CJ is going to have to keep growing and keep learning. He'll do well with it. He'll bounce back, end quote, from D'Amico Ryans. Then he had an amazing game. So are we going to do this every week? Oh, I did. I certainly was not saying, yep, Bryce Young going to be better than CJ Stroud. I understand that I'm wrong all the time on this stuff. Like, it's guaranteed you're going to be wrong more than you're right if you try to project and predict quarterbacks. And so much of quarterback success, if we want to be real, is your situation, is what's put around you, your coaching, your ownership, your weapon, whether you get protected or not, all that stuff. I mean, these quarterbacks are still dependent on a lot of other people. But to pretend right now that you know a damn thing about how this is going to turn out is so infuriating to me, and I'm just sick of it. Everyone shut up about it and just watch them play and see what happens.
Is that possible? I think it's very rare. Forget halfway through a season, which is where we are right now. I think, Joe, it's very rare that you get through a quarterback's first full season and you know, right? Like, you don't know. Like, Patrick Mahomes, his first full season in the league when he was playing, you knew. You're like, okay. I mean, that guy, yeah, you know. But that's not the rule. That's mainly the exception. I mean, look, I don't know. Marcus Mariota continues to come up a lot this week. I don't know how I continue to allow myself to do this. Through 2 years, you know, there were some encouraging signs, right? I mean, his second year, he looked pretty good. We didn't know what he was going to be after that. You know, Robert Griffin III, after his first year, he looked great.
You felt like you knew.
You felt like you knew. And then you didn't know. And some of that's injury related. I get all that. But my point is, like, C.J. Stroud can continue to play great through the end of this year. And I'm not sure that we'll for sure know that's what he's going to be in the NFL level. Like, Will Levis, he's had two good games. He could come out and play really well the rest of the year. Are you going to know that Will Levis is your franchise quarterback after 1 year? I think that's really hard to determine, and you need – like, part of playing quarterback is doing it year in, year out. Like, there's a body of work that has to be built up, at least in my mind for the most part, before you actually know with these guys.
Right. And I just – that's where it's like – obviously, you cover this or you talk about this, you're around it, you follow it, you're going to constantly talk about it, which is fine, okay? But this impulse to jump to, aha, I knew this, or how could you have thought this, now is just so stupid. Like, I put it out, I believed that Bryce Young was the best of these guys based on what I saw in college. And I absolutely could be wrong. I mean, he may be too small. He may not be good enough. But I'm not – like, if Bryce Young has – well, if he has good games with this offense, then I will – he should get some kind of award. But, you know, Bryce Young has a few good weeks in a row. I'm not going to be – I told you all, see, he's the best. I don't know. I mean, it's just – we I think it's almost, like, related to – and I want to blame too much of our societal ills on these stupid argument shows, but it's like you always have to have this conclusive take on everything, you know? and like this means this, and you have to jump to these conclusions. Now I feel like that these argument shows have been part of this, but maybe they're catching strays that they don't deserve for that. I don't know.
No, they're not. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll look ahead to the game against Tampa Bay with him. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 10 matchup against the Bucs and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.